Well, that was good. Good worship. Great to be in the house of the Lord. Good morning, everybody. And it's a beautiful, beautiful morning. And I'm so happy. I'm so thankful to be in the house of God this morning. And I was reflecting this morning when I got here. First of all, Linda and I, sometimes we take two cars to come. And this morning, she was ready. We were both here by like 8:15. And it was just, it's such a nice place to be. When I'm all by myself here, because I put the music on and pray and everything. But I was thinking, why am I so happy this week? We had a wicked snowstorm and everything. Well, it started Monday night. We were at Lakeshore, and we had our Kingdom kids there, and eight of the Kingdom kids that were involved in, and there were others, were from Gateway Church. And then with the adult supervision and leaders and everything, there were four more. So that means that 12 of the team were from Gateway. And that's pretty spectacular when you know the Kingdom kids, because we'll be having them come in the next few months, and we support that ministry because they're just amazing. And it was amazing. And then I looked at the amount of people from Gateway that were there, and I think I counted somewhere between 27 and 30 people representing Gateway Church at this ministry of children providing. And what they were doing was, it was a special evening for the people. The Lakeshore Church has a dinner for people who are down and outers or whatever, and some of them are street people, and they have it every Monday. And the ministry of the children was afterwards, and they stayed to be able to experience the presence of God through our children. And many of the children that were there were from this church as well. And it was just amazing. And then I saw on Friday night, Ty and Laura posted some pictures, and they had their first United night. And what that was Lakeshore again. And Gateway, they came together for an evening where the two youth groups came together and they had some fun and games and stuff, and they had worship, and Ty spoke, and I thought, you know, this is all really good stuff. And then we're going to be gathering Good Friday at the Good Friday service. Just so you know, you could be praying for me because I'm the speaker this year for the Good Friday service. And I'm not nervous, but I'm a pretty passionate guy. And so I'm wrestling with, okay, Lord, I want you to be glorified in this house. And so I'm going to be excited, like all these people, and you know, and I don't want to be doing this. I just want to preach the word. But you know, so it's amazing. Like, think about that. We get to preach to the whole city. The chances are in other years that Anthony Rota is in the house. So he's the Speaker of the House of the Government of Ontario, and we get to be able to share the gospel through the word and through children and kids. Kingdom kids will be there on Good Friday as well. God is good. Amen. And God is moving one person at a time. Isn't that exciting? Yes. So I get up and I'm happy, and that's the reason why I'm happy. And so this morning we're looking at Psalm 27, and the message title this morning is called No Fear. No Fear. And in terms of introduction, it will be up there as well. But of all the oppressive emotions that we experience as humans, fear is usually one of the most powerful. Is that right? Fear is one of the most powerful. Some people, they say, I have anger issues. You don't really have anger issues. What you do is you have fear issues. And anger is a secondary thing that comes out of fear. And so what happens is fear is usually one of the most powerful. And fear rises up against us throughout our lives. And when we are small children, it attacks us in our immature minds about silly things like monsters in the closet or underneath the bed. How many of you can relate to that? I can still see those monsters, and I'm running into my mom's room. You know, isn't it funny? We always say my mom's room, not my dad's room, you know, because my dad would say, just go back to bed. My mom said, come, son, I know how you're feeling. And then as we mature, so do our fears. Made-up monsters are replaced by things that are actual, such as, you know, all the violent criminals and murderers and thieves, etc., and diseases, cancer, heart attack, Alzheimer's, could be loss of employment. It could be accident. It could be the fear of being able to look after yourself as you get older, whether you're going to be able to afford to or whatever. And while fear is something that we definitely feel, we must realize that it's more than an emotion. It's a spiritual enemy. It's a spiritual enemy. And Scripture tells us that the spirit of fear does not come from God. Now, how many times have we heard that? The spirit of fear does not come from God. A reference to that is in 2 Timothy 1 and 7. And so what happens is, if the spirit of fear does not come from God, then why do we allow ourselves to continually walk in that fear of different things in our life? Well, this morning, maybe some of that's going to be broken. And maybe some of that this morning, you're going to be set free from that. Or maybe some of that this morning, you're going to have a greater revelation of what I'm talking about here. And you're just going to do like me, and you're going to say, no more. You're going to give it away. I don't have any use for any of this kind of stuff anymore. It's often the fruit. Hear me. Fear is often the fruit of our own sinful nature. Okay? It's the fear of our own sinful nature. We have a sinful nature. But when we understand what our position is in Him, we could get past that. Okay? But that's what happens. It's often the fear of our own sinful nature. A nature that tends to believe the worst and not to trust in God. Why is that? So David, in the psalm that we're looking at, he encountered the spirit of fear, and which led him to write Psalm 27. Now, we don't know what provoked that fear, that terror that he has, but it is indicated in the psalm that we're looking at that his enemies, they sought to destroy him. His family forsook him. And his enemies were spreading cruel lies about him. Has anyone ever spread cruel lies about you in your life? It's not a nice thing at all, is it? And so whatever the original setting is in Psalm 27, which is, by the way, one of the most loved psalms. Think about this for a second. We, the preachers on Sunday, we get to preach some of the most loved psalms in the world. Is that a blessing? Are we blessed or what? Linda, Ty, are we blessed or what? Amen. Amen. So in it, God's Holy Spirit teaches us what to do when we're assaulted by fear. How many of you are assaulted by fear every so often? Show me your hands. Yeah. So in terms of a little bit of an outline here, how to overcome paralyzing fear and trouble? Well, number one is in verses 1-3, profess your faith in the Lord. Profess your faith in the Lord. Number two, seek the Lord and pray. Number three, wait patiently for the Lord to meet your needs. Be strong and courageous while you're waiting. So I'm going to unpack that for you. So first, profess your faith in the Lord. Now, David did not begin this psalm by stating his fears out by declaring his faith. In doing so, he identified the only solution to his problem of fear, and that was trusting the Lord. That's the only thing that he could do. He didn't give all his fears before the Lord. And in the same personal way that David referred to the Lord as his shepherd, that Ty preached from last week in Psalm 23, he now testifies in here that God was his light, salvation, and strength. And because of his personal relationship with the Lord, he would not be afraid of one thing or anyone or anything ever again. That's what he is declaring in this. But before he even tells the Lord what he's afraid of, he starts to begin to praise the Lord. He is your light, verse 1. Throughout Scripture, God is called the light of our lives. Amen? He is the light of our lives. And the Lord supplies the light that gives us life. God lights our path as we travel through life, that guides us by His presence and by His word. God brightens our life, giving us a spirit of gladness and a reason to rejoice and jump up. You know what? The worship that you saw at the altar today, Micah just crashed here, and Eden over there, and Ty over there, and we're over here, and I turn around and I worship. That's not of the flesh, folks. That's a heart of praise and worship to our King, our awesome God. He is your salvation. Salvation means deliverance or rescue. And in this psalm, David is referring to being delivered from his enemies. The Lord would save David because of his promise and because of his purpose. No matter what your situation is here, there's a promise and there's a purpose that is with God. And He will deliver you from it, and He will save you from it, and He has your number, and He loves you, and He cares for you. And no matter what your situation is, He's big. He's big, and He has promises, and He has purposes. And when we line up with those things, as David did here, we just cry out to Him. We just throw up our hands. We say, I stand. I don't know the rest of it. He is your strength, your protector. When David declared that the Lord was the strength of his life, strength refers to a place of shelter, safety, and protection. And as long as David trusted in the Lord, he was safe within the walls of God's mighty care that was all around him. As long as he trusted in the Lord, David knew within his spirit that he was safe. Amen. He is your confidence. The Lord's protection in the past inspired David to be fearless in the present trouble. Amen. So who has the Lord been to you in the past? Okay? Who has He been to you in the past? What situations have you faced where you have had to trust in Him, and all of a sudden now you have a present trouble, or you have a present thing before you? And so David here, he knew from past experience that he could be fearless because of God's protection over him. And encouraging himself with the truth of God's power and faithfulness, David prayed and he sought God for help. After he recognized who God was, he stood on the promises, he reflected on who God was. He says, oh yes, I remember that time. Oh yes, I remember that time. Oh yes, I remember that time. Oh God, You're so awesome. I love You so much. You're always there for me. Your promises, Your purposes are true. And then after encouraging himself in that, and I could just see, because he was a worship leader, so I'm sure he was even more expressive than what I am right now. Okay? And so all of a sudden, he's expressing himself. He's a worship leader before God. He's acknowledging God. And then what after he encourages himself with the truth of God's power and faithfulness, then, only then, he prays and he sought the Lord and he asked for His help. But he first recognized who God was. And that's amazing. That's amazing. So notice again the order of this psalm. Before asking the Lord to come to his aid, David revealed the highest priority in his life. It was to dwell in the presence daily. That's what his priority was in his life before even asking God anything. So David was very clear about what mattered to him above all else. He desired the Lord's presence in his life. Simply put, David's top priority was to know God. Amen. I love this. I love this because I need some encouragement sometimes, don't you? So what are my priorities in life? Look, I got a phone here that has about a million things that I got to do today, and I check them off once I do them. But are they my number one priority? Yes, they're things that I have to do, but are they my number one priority? Who is your number one priority this morning? David recognized this is the desire of the true worshiper, not to receive anything from God, but to know God. That's what David was all about. It was more about not what he would receive from God, but he wanted to know God. Isn't that incredible? That's what it's all about. that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, girl. That's what it means to walk with Jesus. That's what it means the day when you stood before over there and a nine-year-old led you to the Lord. And now you're hearing it. That's what it's all about. It's not about what he can do for you. It's about knowing him. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And God, David recognized a vital fact. By living in God's presence, he would receive God's protection. And many people turn to God only in times of trouble. Have you been guilty of that in the past? Life sucks sometimes. You know, it's hard. It's you grumble, and it's like, rah, 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 and it gets so bad. Then all of a sudden, you pray, oh, I'm desperate. I have no other choice, but I have to go to God. David recognized a vital fact that by living in God's presence, he would receive his protection. Now, it doesn't mean that circumstances aren't going to happen. They do. Okay, it would be naive for us to say, but it's how you go through it. Okay, it's the peace within your heart. How do you deal with these things that are going through? Man, and so many people, they, like I said, they only turn to God in times of trouble, but not David. God would fight for him, granting him victory and exalting him over his enemies. And in verses 7 to 9, all of a sudden, when you look at the language, David's demeanor, it just changed. I don't know if you can see it in English or not, but it just changed from confidence to concern. It's almost like something just came over him in a moment. It was almost like a panic came over him, the fear that can suddenly so seize us. All of a sudden, everything is okay, and something happens, and a panic comes over us. We're almost like in a panic attack, and it's like, oh my goodness, like what is going on here? And it's almost like that's what happened to David. His demeanor just changed. Perhaps it was like the thundering of his enemies that were coming. Maybe he could see them in the distance. Maybe they were in his view or whatever. But shaken by this ever approaching battle, David called upon the Lord in verse 7. He just called upon the Lord. He was already exalting the Lord, but all of a sudden it's like a fear came over him, and it gripped him. And the first thing he did was he called upon the Lord. He called upon the Lord. He asked God to have mercy on him, to help him in his time of desperate need. How many of you, if there's been times when it's just desperate need, you just need it, you know? How many of you, there are times you can't pay the rent, okay? You can't put food on the table, okay? The basic things of life don't happen. People don't like you. They're saying things bad about you. Okay, abusive situations where people have just they've crossed a boundary into your life that they have no business to, and they've said things to you that are offensive and hurtful. Maybe you've been that person yourself. And he asked God to have mercy on him. He urgently prayed that God would answer him. And David reminded God that he sought his face often. So he reminded him. He says, God, it's not just now I'm coming to see you because I'm desperate. He goes, I seek your face all the time. I sought after you. So, Lord, you know me. You know my voice, God, and I know your voice. But, God, I'm desperate right here now. And he was not a person who prayed in only times of trouble. He sought God by all the time. Many people pray when they desperately need something from God. Am I right? Am I right? And David's voice was a familiar one to God, because he regularly prayed and sought God's countenance. There's a countenance about God. Did you know that? There is. There is. It's just like, it is. And David knew it. And David knew it. And he prayed because he desired face-to-face fellowship with the Lord. He loved to be in the Lord's presence. Therefore, he obeyed God's command to seek him. God's command is for us to seek him. Amen? And so now in this hour of fear and trouble, David desperately needed to know that God was there. Gripped by fear, he pleaded with God to reveal himself. Acknowledge God's faithfulness. He will never forsake you. Do you know that? He will never forsake you. In this hour of fear, David once again spoke in faith, declaring God's faithfulness. So he had this panic time happening. And then all of a sudden, in this hour of fear, in verse 10, David once again, he began to speak in faith. So he had a moment. He's human, the guy. He's not God. He had a moment. A moment was a panic. And then all of a sudden, right away, again, in the psalm, he recognizes that. And in this hour of fear, David once again spoke in faith, declaring God's faithfulness. He encouraged himself in the Lord, remembering God's promise to always be with us, and he will always be with you. So ask God for guidance. Amen? And with his enemies waiting to destroy him, David wanted direction from the Lord. He humbly asked God to teach him or point out the way where he should go. Ask God for victory over your enemies. David refused to accept the possibility that God would allow him to be destroyed by his enemies. He refused to accept that. No way! I know God. No way is this going to happen. Their will is not God's will. Okay? And if it's not God's will, it's not going to touch this guy. It's only God's will. Because God had a plan for David's life. And he has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your life. Because you're that important. He has a plan for your life. Express confidence in God that you will experience the goodness of God through your life. David's confidence in God sustained him. Since Christ's coming, we are more blessed than those who lived in the Old Testament. Do you know that? We are more blessed than David was in the Old Testament. We are more blessed. Old Testament believers had to seek to enter the Lord's presence. They had to seek. However, when we believe in Christ and we receive him into our hearts, okay, I love you sitting there. You can sit there every week, okay? God's presence enters us through his Spirit. Amen? And no longer does God reside in a sanctuary of stone. Our bodies are his temple. So even, you know, even sometimes we've been so silly, we say, oh Lord, we pray that your presence will show up in the, yeah, I pray that the presence of God will show up too, that all of you are right with God, because when we walk in, we're all the temple of the Holy Spirit. So it's not like we're going to all come here and then all of a sudden there's going to be this God come. That we are the presence of God. He is in us, and he wants to be released from us with the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, and he wants all of those things that he is to be able to be released through this temple, through this, these temples. It's a thing of beauty, you know. No longer does he reside in a temple of stone. His presence is always with us. We do not face trouble alone. We could call out to God in prayer, not just when we are in trouble, but all times, in all circumstances, when things are good, when things are not so good. The Lord longs to be involved in our life. He longs to have fellowship with us. And what a glorious privilege it is for each of us today. I hope that what I'm saying today does not get old. I hope today that it stirs your spirit, that you're in awe of an awesome God, that God cares so much about you, that he's with you all the time. What a glorious privilege. Wait patiently for the Lord to meet your needs. David ends this encouraging psalm with a word of advice. Wait on the Lord. To wait on the Lord certainly involves patience on our part, doesn't it? Amen. How many of you want to be a worshiper? We call you all to the front. Nat's leading us in that song, I Stand. And you look around and everyone seems to be worshiping. But for you, you can't keep three seconds concentration on what's happening. Okay? I'm guilty of that. I've been there. I've been in prayer rooms where everyone's praying, and I don't know where my mind was. It was like, okay. And we have to train ourselves. We have to wait on the Lord. Because David ends it this way, wait on the Lord. To wait on the Lord certainly involves patience on our part, but it also includes expectation, right? Expectation, fully anticipating that God will do anything that he has promised, anything. This expectation has the power to overcome fear in our lives, strengthening us in troubled times. Isn't that good? So number thought one, as we begin to close this message here, God can be trusted. You know why? Because we are his dear children. We are his sons and we are his daughters here this morning, for whom he paid the supreme price, the life of his own son, Jesus Christ. We should be especially encouraged when we remember that nothing is more powerful than the love of God who gave his son, Jesus Christ, for us. We must remember that God acts according to his schedule, not ours. Amen? He is never late. He is always on time. In Psalm 27, David sought to be close to God. Amen? His number one desire was to be in constant presence of God, seeking the Lord's instruction, protection, and guidance. I have an observation. God desires to have a specific purpose, for us to have a specific purpose, to know him and to abide in him. He desires for you this morning to have that in your life. The inspiration of that is that you could ask God for one thing. If you could ask God for one thing, what would that be? Hey, hi guys. You're late for church. David tells us what his one thing would be. I'm going to wait a second so that I'll grab your attention back again. Okay? Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you sure? Yep, no one's falling asleep this morning. David tells us what it would be. He longs to live in the house of God. Now, I want to emphasize the word live because it deserves to be emphasized. David just doesn't want to chat. He doesn't want just a desire to have a cup of coffee on the back porch. He doesn't want to ask for a meal or spend an evening in God's presence. He wants more. He wants to move in with him. He wants to move in with God forever. He's asking for his own room permanently. He doesn't want to be stationed in God's house. He longs to retire there. He doesn't seek a temporary assignment, but rather a lifelong residence. And when David says, "I will live in the house of the Lord forever," he is saying simply that he never wants to step away from God. That's what he's saying. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that so encouraging? So just in terms of some application, do you desire to spend all your time in God's presence? At this very moment, I do. Okay? And in those moments that I don't, I need to focus on him. Amen? Are there activities? Listen to me now. We're going to go to communion. Right now, Linda's going to come and we're going to have communion. But as you come up for communion this morning, I want this to go through your heart and your mind a little bit, okay? And just think about this. Okay? Because this can't just be an exercise that we do because we've always done it, right? There needs to be some spiritual significance to this. So my question is this to you. Are there activities, thoughts, or even people that keep you from him? And I will close at that. Now I'm going to repeat that one more time. And as you come, okay, are there activities, thoughts, even people that keep you from him? And if there are, as you're receiving the emblems today, give it to God. Okay? And walk out of here free today. And walk out of here being set free because he desires so much for you to be in his presence. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that he would give us a psalm so that we could understand the heart of David, but we could also understand the heart of God so that we could take that heart and we could apply it to our lives so that we could have an honest walk with God. So, Father, I thank you for your word today. Now as we take communion this morning, Father, I pray that those who come forward, Lord, would really talk to you and ask you, are there activities, thoughts, or even people that are keeping us away from you? So, Lord, bless each one as they come, and I pray this in the name of Jesus.